What summer without a trip to the beach? Elevate the journey with style from behind the wheel of your ultimate BMW at the Summer On Sales event. Experience an inspired performance in class-defining style in the 4 Series Grand Coupe. Or make the most of the versatile BMW X5. With everything you need to make the trip to the beach one to remember. Just be sure to arrive before all the beach chairs are gone. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Get a credit of up to $2,000 on select models now through September 4th.
The Historic New Orleans Collection is a free museum, publisher, and research center in the heart of the French Quarter, on view through October 8th, 2023. Be sure to plan your visit to 520 Royal Street at hnoc.org. The Smithsonian Traveling Exhibition, American Democracy, A Great Leap of Faith, examines the continuing evolution of our government, of, by, and for the people. Be sure to plan your visit to 520 Royal Street at hnoc.org.
What summer without a trip to the beach? Elevate the journey with style from behind the wheel of your ultimate BMW at the Summer On Sales event. Experience an inspired performance in class-defining style in the 4 Series Grand Coupe. Or make the most of the versatile BMW X5. With everything you need to make the trip to the beach one to remember. Just be sure to arrive before all the beach chairs are gone. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Get a credit of up to $2,000 on select models now through September 4th.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to the season premiere of the League Wraparound. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the world of the National Football League. And yes, it's been a long time, but we are indeed back. The last time we talked to you was right around the NFL draft, so we were doing the draft picks and things of that nature. And certainly, it was a lot of fun, but now what's even more fun is that we're going to preview the 2023 NFL regular season. And on top of that, somebody that was with us last time on the program, well, guess what? We got him back on this time. Diehard fan like myself, someone comes on the show periodically, talks his talk, does his thing. Let's welcome Eric back to the program. Yo, E, what's up?
What's up, Ed, man? It's awesome to be back on the show and just ready to start talking some football.
Eric, it's been a long time, bro. I mean, the last time we were on the show together, as I stated earlier, was during the NFL draft. And it April, that was a long time. But, bro, I'm so glad, man. You could just – you smell the grass, man, and you just – you smell the grills, man. Football is definitely back, and it's exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely a different atmosphere when you know football's coming up. You walk in the stores, you see the – the grills for sale, you see the potato chips, you see the nacho cheese, you see everything you need to see for football, but you have to see football. This is going to be an amazing season.
Oh, there's no doubt it is going to be an amazing season. And, you know, speaking of an amazing season, the 2023 NFL regular season is going to kick off with the opener between the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs. So, Eric, let's start with the Lions for a moment. So this is the year where they're expected to take the next step, to take that leap. Last year, they didn't make the playoffs, but they finished over 500 at 9-8. And Dan Campbell, give me your thoughts on Dan Campbell as he enters year three as the head coach of the Detroit Lions.
You know, I guess when you say head coach, and especially when you become a rookie head coach and he's no longer a rookie, he's entering his third season, it's can you stay consistent? You know, like the first year they didn't do too well. Last year, like you said, they went 9-8, just missed the playoffs. So this year they have to make the playoffs. If not, you know, it's inconsistent. So I want to see the consistency, and consistency is doing better each year, and before you know it, getting to the playoffs and become a consistent team instead of an up and down team who wins 1 year, under 500 1 year, over 500 1 year. They got to keep stride and keep that meter going up and stay consistent. So that's the only question I really have with Campbell. He's a good coach. Seems like a people's man. He loves football and he loves to teach the younger, you know, young players football. But at the end of the day, you have to win and stay consistent. So I think that's going to be the biggest question this year with the Detroit Lions. Can they do better than they did last year and consistently win?
You're absolutely right about that, Eric. In the NFL, it's all about consistency. Sometimes you can be consistent and there's no guarantees that you'll have a job in the National Football League. But in the draft, they wind up getting a linebacker out of Iowa named Jack Campbell. They also got a quarterback out of the University of Tennessee, Hendon Hooker. And then they got Jahmyr Gibbs out of the University of Alabama. And Eric, we've been watching Jahmyr Gibbs for quite a while now. What do you expect Jahmyr to do during this season for the Lions in his rookie campaign?
I think he's going to do a lot because I think they're going to use him in so many different aspects as far as running, receiving. They might even spread him out at receiver. The first time I seen Gibbs, it was a high school reel. And I swear when I watched him, I automatically thought Alvin Kamara. I'm not saying he's there yet in the NFL. He can be. Then I seen him, of course, when he went to college, but he really showed out at Alabama, and he showed what he can do. He caught the ball well. He even blocked well for his size, but he's quick. He's got great vision. I don't know if he's extremely fast, but I know he's got a lot of shakes, and you know what shakes can do. Barry had shakes, shake, rattle, and roll. So we're going to have to see. Can he play at the next level? And preseason, it looked like he gave us a glimpse of that. So, but once again, it comes to the word consistency. He has to do it week in and week out. You know, he has to stay healthy too. So I think he could definitely be a defensive nightmare for a defense because, like I say, he catch out the backfield very well, run between the numbers, run outside the numbers. So, and even might even do something in the special teams in a return game. So, he could bring a lot to the table, and they're going to definitely use him a lot, but he just has to stay healthy, and I think he's going to have a really good rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, the expectations are definitely bright for Jahmyr Gibbs, and certainly if everything goes well, knock on wood, he has a chance to become Rookie of the Year this year. Eric, a couple of additions I want to talk about for the Detroit Lions, specifically on the offensive side, the wide receiver side, Marvin Jones Jr., and also, Marvin Jones Jr., a big part. Of course, he was with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now he's a member of the Detroit Lions. Just give me your thoughts on Marvin and what do you think he brings to that passing game for this season?
I think once Williamson gets back from his suspension, I don't think Jones's role is going to be I think he's probably going to drop to maybe the third receiver or so. I don't think he's going to have that same role he had when his first time with Detroit. Then he got, like you say, he went to Jacksonville. Now he's back with Detroit. I think he's going to have some good targets probably the first six games. But once Williamson comes back from the suspension, he's going to eat up a lot of them targets. And of course, you already know what St. Brown's going to do. He's going to be the number one there. And once again, like I said, Gibbs out the backfield, he's going to get his targets. So a lot of targets to go around, but is it enough to really give, you know, Marvin Jones a really great year? He could possibly have a decent year, but I tell you what, it's good to have a Marvin Jones on your team, regardless of his role, just as long as he's there. Injuries happen, inconsistency happens, you could slide him on in, plug him in, and he could produce, but it's going to be interesting to see how they use him, you know, this time around, because he's not the same player and he don't have the same, I would say, the same amount of targets, because I think there's just so much more there to throw to. So I guess we're going to, time will tell, and we'll see what happens.
Well, you mentioned some of the receivers for Detroit. Khalif Raymond and Josh Reynolds were awesome last year. And somebody else who was awesome last year and expected to do big things this year is Amon-Ra St. Brown. Give me your thoughts on Amon-Ra and what you think he's going to bring to the table for this coming season.
I think he's going to be better than last year, and he was really good last year. Very good route runner. He's not a big, big, big receiver, but, I mean, he could take some hits, and he gets up, and he just keeps doing what he does, and that's play consistent football. Last year, he was very consistent. Every week, it seemed like he was making a big play. And I think the offense is going to be open more to him this year, and I think a lot more calls are going to be for him. A lot of calls are going to be his certain place for him to get open, and it's going to be interesting to see him this year. I think a Pro Bowl year for him. I give him upwards of 11, 12 touchdowns, 1,200 yards receiving, possibly between 85, 95 receptions, possibly might even crack that 100. He's going to have a lot of targets. He's going to be targeted easily 20, 25, 30 times a game. It's just going to happen at the screen, whether he's running flat routes, deep routes, go routes, pump and go. He's going to curl routes. Yeah, he's definitely going to be the primary receiver there. He's going to get a lot of targets, and I think he's going to produce a very good year for Detroit.
Yeah, Amon-Ra's expected to do big things this year, Eric. And speaking of doing big things on the defensive side, listen, the Lions wind up getting C.J. Gardner-Johnson, big free agent who was with the Philadelphia Eagles last year. Alex Anzalone re-signed with the team. And also they got Emmanuel Mosley from the San Francisco 49ers. But, man, Aiden Hutchinson is expected to be a once-in-a-lifetime talent being on the defensive line for Detroit. Just give me your thoughts on how do you think Aiden is going to perform this year?
I think it's going to be night and day from last year. I think last year he played as a rookie. He just played off of pure football ability that he knows. He didn't know too much technique. He didn't know a snap count. He didn't know his body size yet. He didn't know the speed of the game. He knows all that now. He's played it. He's done it. In the offseason, he groomed himself to be prepared for this situation. He's going to have more technique. He's going to know when the snap count is. He's going to sniff out a lot of different plays, and he's going to wreak havoc on quarterbacks. I got him 16 sacks this year, 4 forced fumbles. I got him just wrecking. I got him getting 3 interceptions as well this year. He's going to play ball, and he's going to do it not just from God-given football. Now he's going to use his mental. And once you learn that in football and you know technique and you know the game and you know how to get around a defender than just bull rushing him, you know how to spin, use your hands. You could tell the way an offensive lineman setting that he's going to go to his left or his right. I mean, once you learn that, it's just stay healthy and get sacks, and that's what he's going to do. He's learned the game. He's played 1 year. He's figured it out, I'm pretty sure of that. He looked like he slimmed down a little bit, maybe bulked up a little bit muscle-wise by what I've seen in preseason. But his get-off is faster. That's what I mean about a snap count. See, it takes 1 second less, you can miss a sack because you don't know much about snap counts. But once you figure out a snap count and you're going right when the ball's being snapped, that one extra second could be the difference between missing a quarterback and getting to the quarterback. And he's going to get to him a lot this year.
You're right about that, Eric. And again, the future is bright for Aiden. And I mean, 16 sacks, that's definitely a reasonable number. Could he get more? Possibly, but hey, you just never know. Like you said, it all depends on him being healthy and definitely how he improves himself. And as you mentioned, he has slimmed down a little bit, so that could have a huge impact and make a huge difference in his performance. So, Eric, I mentioned earlier about the quarterback position for the Lions. Hendon Hooker was drafted. Teddy Bridgewater signed a 1-year deal to be the backup. But Jared Goff, this is going to be his third year as the quarterback of the Detroit Lions, and he made a big jump last year. People were questioning about the jump make going from Los Angeles or going from Southern California to Detroit, and so far the adjustment has been solid. So far, so good, but they're expecting really big things from Jared this year. Give me your thoughts on Jared Goff, and what do you think he's going to do in the 2023 season?
I mean, my personal opinion, I think Jared Goff is a better quarterback now than he was with the Rams. I think he's more patient. He stays in the pocket a little bit. He don't really, you know, panic. He trusts his line, and he trusts something called senses. Some quarterbacks have sense, and they could sense pressure. They could sense a pass rush, and they know just to slide up in the pocket will buy you a little extra time. And he's throwing the ball very well. I think he's seeing the field better than he's ever seen. Sometimes, and it's crazy to say that because he led the Rams to a Super Bowl. They didn't win it, but he got them there. And sometimes you need to get to a fresh place. You know, a lot of players in the past got to a fresh place and became phenomenal players. Steve Young, Brett Favre, Drew Brees, you know. So I think he's going to have a really, really good year. And like I said, it has to be consistent. You know, he has to have consistency. Last year he played very well, really good. Step it up a little bit more this year. And, hey, you could be saying playoffs for Detroit. So, yeah, I like Jared Goff. I think he's playing top of his game right now, and he's got the weapons around him now, and that's what I like what they did in the offseason. You know, they went out and they got Marvin Jones back. They went out and they drafted a good running back in Gibbs who could catch and run and help him out a little bit. So, yeah, I'm liking what I see with Jared Goff, and I think he's going to put up some consistent numbers this year.
Absolutely. Again, we talk about the Detroit Lions, one of those teams. I consider them, and you consider them as well, Eric, one of the X factors that's going to take the league by storm this year. And Jared Goff has the potential to get over that hump. And we're going to get more into Detroit in a little bit, but I want to talk now about the defending champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes being Patrick Mahomes, that's no mistaking about that. Travis Kelce in his prime. And, those two guys, Mahomes and Kelce, what more do you want, right? And then Isaiah Pacheco came out of nowhere last year. Give me your thoughts on Mahomes, Kelce, and Pacheco coming into this new season.
Yeah, it could be a three-headed monster. You already know what Kelce could do. I mean, he's the best tight end in the game right now by far. Great route run. He's almost like a receiver at tight end, the way he runs his routes, and he catches very well. You don't really see him drop a lot of passes. Then, like you said, Isaiah Pacheco, yeah, he played awesome last year. He came on a little bit late. I think he came on a lot last year, but I think the tail end of the season is when people started noticing him. And he runs hard and he runs well, so keep him healthy and the sky's the limit for him. Then you'd say Patrick Mahomes, I mean, best quarterback in the game, bar none. And when it's all over and all said and done, probably be the greatest to ever play the game. I think he's still learning the game. That's the funny part and the scary part about it. He's only, what, his sixth year in the league. He's only his fifth year as a starter. You know, think about where Drew Brees was in his fourth or fifth year. He was still with the Chargers just now getting back into starting after, you know, losing his job to Doug Flutie and all. And his last 2 years, he played very, very good. And they wound up drafting Phillip Rivers, and he goes to the Saints. But that was his fifth, sixth year in the league. You know, this dude, Patrick Mahomes, he's putting up numbers that it takes some quarterbacks, you know, probably their seventh, eighth year to really start feeling what he feels. It's insane. I've never seen no one throw from where he throws. His body will be stretched out on the field within 2 inches from the football field and throw underarm and complete a perfect pass as if he was just standing up throwing it. I've never seen nothing like it. And some people are just born to play that position. And I tell you what, Patrick Mahomes was born to be a quarterback. And I don't think he's finished with the hardware neither. I think he's going to bring some more league MVPs, and I think he's going to get a couple of more Super Bowls. So definitely the best quarterback in the game today. It's insane what he does, and excited to see what he does this season.
It's exciting to see what's going to happen with the Chiefs this year. We know Kelce and Pacheco are going to bring it in Patrick Mahomes. Like you said, Eric, there could be more Super Bowls in his career as the years go on. I mean, he's one of those once-in-a-lifetime talents, and the Chiefs very blessed and lucky to have him as their quarterback. Interesting situation that's been developing. Now, we know Kansas City's known for the offense with Mahomes and company. Chris Jones, along with the Chiefs, they tried to get a deal going. That didn't work out, so Jones has not reported to camp as this show is airing. And so, I mean, Chris Jones is really the anchor, has been the anchor of that Chiefs defense for the last several years now. But both parties could not agree on a new contract. So for the moment, he has not reported to camp. Just give me your thoughts on Chris Jones and his value to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, he is the Patrick Mahomes of that defense. He's the engine. That's who they look to. All right, we need a big play on defense. We need sack fumble. We need something, and he always delivered. And hopefully they come up with a solution, and he gets back on the field. I'm going to tell you, if they don't have Chris Jones on that defense, it's going to be tough to get back to a Super Bowl, because you need somebody like him when you're playing up against a Joe Burrow, a Lamar Jackson. You know, you definitely need a pass rusher, someone who could wreak havoc on quarterbacks. You know, Josh Allen, these guys will destroy you if you let them just stand in a pocket all day and if you let them scramble around. So they definitely need him. You know, him on that, it does a lot to the other team's offense too, because now they got to figure out, we got to double team this dude. Chris Jones ain't on the field. We don't need to double team him. But when he's on the field, sometimes triple team, they have the running back chip him or something. You know, that all plays effect on their offense. So hopefully they can get something done, and he can come back on that defense and do what he does and bless Kansas City with another championship.
Yeah, Chris Jones has been one of the top defenders in the league for quite some time now. And like you said it best, Eric, he is the Patrick Mahomes of the defense for Kansas City. And hopefully they can work things out and give him the deal that he's definitely deserving of. But in the meantime, Eric, let's talk now about the opener between Detroit and Kansas City. So, you know, Eric, we know that NFL season openers are always big. The hype is always real. Everybody's excited. Everybody has enjoyed that long layover. And during that long layover, people were getting agitated. And people were like, where's the football? Where's the football? But now it's here. We have our season opener coming up with Detroit and Kansas City. What do you expect in this game from these two teams?
You know, I guess when you have, you know, season openers, you know, as far as like week one, it's really hard to predict what we're going to see. You know, we're going to see a high scoring game, or we're going to see some struggling, you know, because, you know, like I said, it's football's been gone for a while, and it's one thing to training camp and mini camp and play situational football in preseason. Now this is it. It's your ones versus their ones. It's your best versus their best. Everybody on the field, play calling has to be hot. So we're just going to have to see if both teams can come out the gates playing hard and hot, or if they're going to come out and be sluggish, you know, and not have the chemistry that they thought they had. And just it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, would this be a Georgia versus a TCU game that we seen last year where Georgia just destroyed TCU? Will Kansas City destroy Detroit? Or is Detroit going to put up a good game? You know, that's what I'm saying about consistency. Last year, Detroit played phenomenal. They got to do it now again this year. Last year means nothing. They can live on last year all they want. That's old news. Now it's time to build this year, and they're going to have to come out in front. The whole world's going to be watching. There's going to be a lot of people watching this game. So they better come out playing top of the game. And Kansas City, too, you don't want to lose the opening night, you know. So we're going to see how they play. You got new faces there. You got some rookies there. You know, you got the off-season jitters. You got to get back into play mode. You got to get back into chemistry and play calling. And it might take a quarter or so, but I think we're going to see a pretty good game and a lot of firepower in this game. So I'm excited. I cannot wait for this game. So we're going to see what's going to happen next Thursday.
You know, Eric, we were talking about this game when the NFL released their regular season schedule, and when they said what the season opener was going to be, I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't too thrilled about this. I wasn't excited about it. I thought it was going to be Chiefs-Eagles or maybe Chiefs-49ers. I had no idea. I mean, I wasn't expecting Detroit to get into the mix, but do you think the NFL made the right call by making this the season opener Chiefs-Lions?
I guess with that, only time will tell. You know, like when the game's done and all said and done, are we going to see a 31-28 win for Kansas City or 45-17 win for Kansas City? Or will we see a 13-10 win for Detroit? It's hard to really say, but I was like you. When I heard the opener, I was confused and didn't expect. That was the last team I would have expected to be on an opener. You know, usually it's a good team, a team who had a long run in the playoffs, you know, from the previous season, you know, a very competitive, consistent team. You know, Detroit put up a good year last year, but the year before they didn't do anything really. So I guess, you know, the NFL just wants to give everybody a fair shake. So we're going to see if they was right or not. I tell you what, if Detroit gets blown out, they're probably going to rethink how they set up their opening game. But hey, I like what Detroit has, but like I said, you gotta put it on the field and you gotta produce. So, like I said, only time's going to tell us if they got this right. So, I'll be watching, and the whole world will be watching. So, Detroit, you better be ready.
Yeah, I'll be watching as well. The whole world, like you said it best, Eric. The whole world will definitely be indeed watching as the NFL will have their kickoff opener between the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs. It should be a lot of fun. All right, Eric, I want to switch now to a topic that has had me bothered for a while. I know it's had you, bothered for a while now, and that's running backs in the league. We know for the last almost three decades, the NFL has been a quarterbacks league. The league loves their quarterbacks, owners and general managers. They put such an emphasis on the running back, on the quarterback position. We've seen it as recent as Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, also Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson. The list just goes on and on. And then with Justin Herbert getting his new contract, and even before that with Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Drew Brees, also Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger. But Eric, it wasn't so long ago when we all talked about running backs with Walter Payton, Eric Dickerson, Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, Curtis Martin, Priest Holmes, Jamal Lewis. I mean, Eddie George, just to name a few. And even recent as the late great Jim Brown and Gale Sayers. Running backs, Eric, we've seen that Jonathan Taylor's in a bad situation as this show is airing with the Colts. Josh Jacobs had a bad situation with the Raiders for a minute. One-year deal, he comes back. Saquon Barkley had a rough patch with the Giants. He comes back, signs another one-year deal. I would have never thought, Eric, that the running back position would be so devalued and disrespected like that. The floor is yours. Give me your thoughts on the running back situation in the NFL.
Yeah, I guess I'm more like you. I'm just confused on what's going on with the running back situation. You got to have a good running game, you know. You have to have your bell call, you know, end of the game when you need to put some yards and burn some clock. You're going to want a good running back. And you could find some good running backs, but there's nothing like the premier running backs. And like you said, the Barry Sanders, the Emmitt Smiths, you know, these guys, man, they carried the NFL for years. And now it's just like it's a forgotten position and don't understand why. But I guess, you know, situations, I think. You know, you look at Barkley, you know, he tore his ACL a few years ago. He came back with a good year, and maybe they're like, do we want to commit, you know, to a 4 or 5 year contract with someone coming off an ACL injury? So, and, you know, Jacobs put up a great year last year. You know, Jonathan Taylor had a good year a couple of years ago. Then last year kind of fell off. Didn't even rush for 1,000 yards last year, had 4 touchdowns. And, banged up all year, couldn't really stay 100% healthy. So I guess they're thinking, do we want to commit, you know, to these backs, put all this money out? And, you know, Jonathan Taylor, like you said, he's real big problems there at the Colts. He's on a pulp list, so he can't play the week 5. You know, he's got to miss the first 4 games no matter what. But, you know, his situation, he's 24 now. In January, he makes 25. So if he don't play this whole season, he sits out. So about time he gets back to next season and come around this time, he'd be clocking almost 26. You know, 30 years old is usually where teams look at running backs and think their value's gone. Their legs are gone at 30. So he'll be 26 years old if he sits out again and don't take the franchise tag again. So who's going to put out a 4 or 5 year contract to a running back over 25, you know, so he might want to get back with the Colts and go ahead and sign, get his $12 million, I think it is, for the franchise tag, go make his $12 million. And who knows, maybe next year the Colts say, all right, you came back, you played on a franchise tag, we're not going to franchise tag you, you're free to go play, you know. And I still don't think the door is going to be kicked down for him. I think he'll win. I mean, look at Ezekiel Elliott. Look how long it took him to sign. Dalvin Cook. These are Pro Bowl premier running backs. And, man, they almost didn't sign, and they signed for not a lot. So, yeah, I don't know what's up with this running back situation. Maybe they need to get some kind of union for the running backs and start, you know, banging on the doors and telling them, you know, we are important. We are football players. I mean, they got punters making more than running backs. Field goal kickers making more than running backs. That's crazy. So we're going to see what happens, man, because the running back position is starting to look like it's going to fall off. Before you know it, there ain't nobody going to want to play running back because you're not going to get paid. So I guess time's going to tell, see what happens with the situation, and hopefully soon they can come up with something where both parties are happy and agree upon. So I guess we're going to see what happens.
You know, Eric, speaking of seeing what happens, I don't know if you were – aware of this, but there was a meeting via Zoom before the preseason that started where running backs had a Zoom call to kind of talk about just kind of like some of the problems that were going on amongst the running backs in the league. I know Austin Eckler from the Los Angeles Chargers was the one that was over the Zoom call, and you also had Saquon Barkley, also Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, and I think there were several other running backs that were involved in this Zoom call. This was right before the preseason had begun. It looks like you said, they may have to do something similar to that in order to make the running back position valuable again. I mean, all positions in football are valuable. It is the ultimate team sport. But, you know, it wasn't so long ago, as I stated earlier, that the running back position was top notch, top tier. Everybody loved their running backs. And before we go on to the next topic, I want to ask you, where do you see the NFL going with running backs in the next decade? Do you think it's going to be a little bit better? Do you think pay scales may come about when the players union, players association getting involved in terms of a set salary, a better salaries for running backs to get their just due?
I honestly think it's going to be situational, I guess, also depending on that particular back. I mean, you look at Alvin Kamara. He got a pretty good contract with the Saints after his rookie deal. But, I mean, look how consistent and productive he was. 5 straight Pro Bowls, record-setting touchdowns in a single game, set rookie records for receiving yards. I mean, you know, Christian McCaffrey, you know, great receiver out the backfield, played phenomenal. I mean, hard to really hold him down because he could do so many different things. But you look at a running back like Josh Jacobs, who he could catch pretty well out the backfield and run pretty well. You know, I think he'll get a pretty good payday. I doubt if it's going to be with the Raiders. You know, Saquon Barkley, you know, coming off the ACL injury, do you want to devote that much money to a running back who just come off ACL injury? And also with Jonathan Taylor, you know, coming off under 1,000 yards rushing, didn't even eclipse 5 rushing touchdowns. It's banged up last year a lot. Couldn't really stay on the field. Heck, that's why he was under 1,000. He wasn't on the field a lot, but he still produced. So, you know, do you want to throw all that money to a running back when you can go draft the running back in the 6th round and play him on a rookie deal and get production out of him, you know? But they need to do something and make some kind of rule, like after their rookie contract, this is what the franchise tag's going to be, you know, maybe $16 million for a running back, $18 million a year for a running back for a franchise tag. And I'm pretty sure the running backs really wouldn't mind signing that type of franchise tag, you know, because at the end of the day, they're also devoting their body and their health to the NFL. So they need to be confiscated for it. They need to have money for that. They need to be respected for that. And both sides need to come to some type of agreement. I think eventually they will. Enough people start talking. They need to get Barry Sanders in here and start talking. Thurman Thomas. Get Emmitt Smith in there, you know. Get some of Marshall Faulk. Get some of these respective running backs. Let them come in there and talk with them. Be like, hey, this is something that was beyond us, and now it's just like it don't even exist. Let's get back to that pay scale and everybody plays well and everybody makes good money and take care of their families and – play football.
Eric, you've said a lot, and hey, definitely valued, and we're going to leave it on that note, but just let everybody know that the running back position was, and it still is, at least in our eyes, a very valuable position and something that's not to be taken lightly. All right, Eric, let's move along now to the other topics that we have on the show. Players who went to different teams, and I'll tell you one thing, Eric, we had a lot of players that have new homes, set up shop someplace else. And before I mention this person, I want to start off talking about this team for a moment, and I want to mention some of the starting quarterbacks. Eric, I'm going to name some of these starting quarterbacks, and you tell me what team they all represented. Richard Todd, Browning Nagel, Frank Reich, Glenn Foley, Ray Lucas, Vinny Testaverde, and Chad Pennington. What team comes to your mind?
Jets.
Ah, you guessed it. The J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 the New York Jets, and, of course, Mid-Broadway Joe. Joe Namath, can't forget about him. Can't forget about Brett Favre, his 1 year with the J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 and also Mark Sanchez and Ryan Fitzpatrick, just to name a few. And Geno Smith had a short run there as well. Well, guess what? The Jets got the biggest fish in the NFL pond during the offseason, landing number 8 now, not number 12, number 8, Aaron Rodgers. And Eric, after so many seasons with the Green Bay Packers, he almost retired, but he emerged from the darkness, quote unquote. He did a little darkness retreat, and he found his passion again. This is a two-part question. First question, give me your thoughts on Aaron's time in Green Bay. And second question is, what were your thoughts when you found out Aaron was headed to New York?
Well, I mean, his time in Green Bay, he was no doubt best quarterback in the game at times, won multiple MVPs, won a Super Bowl, went to a lot of Pro Bowls and made a lot of money and threw a lot of yards. I think his time with Green Bay would never be forgotten, and he'd be right up there with the Bart Starrs, the Brett Favres, and I think no doubt, even if he retired this year, first ballot Hall of Famer. It's just no two ways about that. And I'm pretty sure Green Bay respects and likes what he did for them. And I'm pretty sure they wish him the best. And what you asked, what he might do with the Jets, you said, how I thought when he signed with the Jets?
Yeah, what was your reaction when you found out that Aaron was headed to New York?
I was I sort of seen a writing on the wall. I thought it was going to happen. I mean, he talked about it before, and I thought it made sense. Fits in there, and they needed a quarterback. They had some nice young talent, good offensive line. Defensively, they're pretty stout, and I knew they would bring other weapons there to help them. So I think it was the right move, and I think he could do what he did in Green Bay there and possibly bring them another Super Bowl. They haven't had – the last one they won was Super Bowl III, so it's been a long time. Joe Namath days when they upset at the Colts. So I think he could bring one back there and play just as good as he played in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much hype behind Aaron and the New York Jets this year. And, Eric, you know, we've seen the outlook where people are saying Jets to the Super Bowl. Jets are going to win the Super Bowl. Jets are marching on to the playoffs. Just give me your thoughts on 2023 for Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. Do you see a Super Bowl possibly, or maybe them going to the playoffs, winning the division, or maybe a wild card? How do you see the Jets playing out in 2023?
Man, that's definitely, I guess, time will tell situation. I mean, to get to the Super Bowl, that means they're either going to have to go through some of these teams. They either have to go through Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati. So, and look, Denver, they got Sean Payton over there now. So they're going to be a different team too. But, yeah, Tennessee as well, they might sneak back into the playoffs. They're going to have to go through some very good teams who've been together a lot longer and had more success, you know. But then you look at what Tom Brady did, you know, Matthew Stafford, first years with new team, went on and won a Super Bowl. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see, you know, once again, that the top dog is Kansas City. They're going to have to figure a way to beat Kansas City. if they want to get to a Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure it's going to go through Kansas City. So we're going to see what happens. They got the team. I think they got the talent. They just got to put it all together and do it on the field.
You said it best, Eric. Kansas City is no joke. Just the AFC alone is no joke with Cincinnati, Buffalo, the L.A. Chargers, also the new-look Denver Broncos with Sean Payton as their head coach. Russell Wilson is a man on a mission, and certainly the AFC, let alone his dog-eat-dog, and even with the emergence of the Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence, Aaron is definitely going to have his work cut out for him as the quarterback of the New York Jets. Let's stay with players who went to different teams. Derek Carr. Eric, if there's anybody that has been the definition of one of the most loyal players in the NFL, Derek Carr is one of them. We saw his loyalty with the Raiders when they were in the city of Oakland, and that loyalty continued when the franchise moved to Las Vegas. Well, again, let's just say that the Saints got the biggest fish in the Gulf of Mexico or in the Mississippi River and landing Derek Carr. And Eric, I tell you one thing, the Raiders, every time when Derek Carr was playing for the Raiders did not have great defenses, but Derek Carr would put up numbers like nobody's business. Now with the offense that he's got in New Orleans, oh man, the sky is the limit. Knock on wood if he stays healthy. Two-part question. What was your reaction when you found out Derek was going to be playing for the New Orleans Saints? And question number two, what was your reaction? What do you think he's going to do with this new offense that he has with Kamara and Michael Thomas?
Well, when I found he was going to the Saints, I wasn't surprised at all because I watched the Pro Bowl, the accuracy competition. He needed like 25 points to win the accuracy competition. He hit like 40, and they asked him, you know, are you hot tonight? And he's like, I must not be that hot because I'm playing somewhere else next year. And I said it, he's going to play for the Saints. He's coming to New Orleans. And within a couple of weeks, he had a scheduled visit to New Orleans. Then he had some other visits scheduled, and he canceled them. He said, nah, I'm a Saint. Called his agent, get it done. And I knew it was going to be done. And I think it was the great move. I like the move. I think it's just as good as Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets. You know, we got a pretty good team here. Defensively, we're pretty good. We got Hall of Famers on defense. I mean, Cam Jordan, say no more. Lattimore, the Honey Badger, Davis. I mean, we got some talent. And offensively, like you say, Alvin Kamara. And when Derek Carr came here, I didn't expect no Michael Thomas. I knew he would do well when he came here because we had Olave, Shaheed, and like you said, Alvin Kamara, and we got Juwan Johnson. Then all of a sudden, Michael Thomas said, I want to play. Give me a new contract for a year. I want to come back and prove myself. And that I was like, oh, whoa. That just brought the excitement to the roof. Then they signed Jimmy Graham. I'm like, then they signed Jamal Williams. I'm like, whoa, okay. This might work. And I think with his talent and what he's done, you know, four-time Pro Bowler, he's thrown for more yards and touchdowns than anybody ever did for the Raiders. And coming here, I don't think it's going to end. I think he's just going to play better. And with the weapons we have and with his dedication to football and his determination to be the best, which he's trying to be, I like it. Perfect fit. And I think he's going to play well here. I think he's going to do excellent. I think he's going to put up some good numbers. There are going to be times where he's going to make mistakes. He's human. But he's going to be more consistent. I think we have one of the best offensive lines in football, and I think he's going to love that. And when you have a running back like Alvin Kamara and receivers like Thomas and Olave and Shaheed, and now we got Perry – A.T. Perry, who looks phenomenal, and Jimmy Graham now, and Juwan Johnson, and it's wow! This is going to be exciting. I think he came to the right place, and we love that he's here.
Yeah, Derek Carr in New Orleans seems like to be a perfect fit on paper. It's outstanding. Hopefully, they can take that hype, and hopefully they can get things done during this 2023 NFL season. And you talked about Chris Olave, what a solid rookie year that he had last year. And Rashid Shaheed has been a cult hero in New Orleans since last year, and certainly with Derek Carr joining the team, his numbers could go up as well. And so the New Orleans Saints struck gold by getting quarterback Derek Carr. So now, Eric, the San Francisco 49ers, right? We know that Trey Lance was supposed to be the future. That didn't turn out well. He's traded to the Dallas Cowboys. And then Brock Purdy came out of nowhere after Lance got hurt. Guess what? The 49ers play in the NFC Championship game, losing to the Philadelphia Eagles. But the Brock Purdy era is now in San Francisco. So with the Lance situation not working out, Purdy comes in out of nowhere and made things happen last year. Sam Darnold gets a one-year contract in the offseason. And Jimmy G, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy got hurt last year. And we knew that was over with for him. The time was ticking for him out in Frisco. He goes to the Las Vegas Raiders. So this is an interesting move right here. So out with Derek Carr, in comes Jimmy Garoppolo. Give me your thoughts on Jimmy G being in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I guess it's like any quarterback. You have to stay healthy. And I think that was his biggest issue, you know, with the 49ers, was staying healthy. And when he was healthy, he played well. But if you're not on the field enough, you start looking in other directions and look for different answers. So he's got a clean slate here. With the Raiders, he could go in, stay healthy, and play good football. He has a good receiver, you know, and Davante Adams. He's got good running back in Jacobs. So he's got weapons there. He just stays healthy. And if he plays up to par like I know he could play, they could do some good things over there still. But it starts with him. He hasn't really played much in preseason. He's been injured the whole offseason. He hasn't done much in training camp and mini camp. So we're going to have to see if he's going to be on a field week one or not. You know, will he be ready week one? He's still not healthy 100%, but he still has another week. So I like the move. He had to do something. You know, they was done with the Derek Carr era, so they had to go somewhere. And I guess they felt like the experience that Garoppolo had and being taught by, Tom Brady, and see what he could bring over here to the Raiders. But it starts with health. He has to take care of himself and stay healthy. And when he is healthy, he's a pretty decent quarterback. So, but he also don't have that Frisco defense to carry him sometimes too, you know. So he's going to have to really play some good football and consistent football and healthy football. So I wish all the best for him, but I think he could do it.
Stay just with Jimmy G for a moment. So, Eric, we talked about Jimmy G going from San Francisco to Las Vegas. And you mentioned about the top priority with Jimmy G, it's his health. We know the last several years he's been in and out of lineups dealing with knee injuries. And we know the Raiders have not had great pass protection, especially the last several years when Derek Carr was the quarterback. Do you think Jimmy G will either play the whole season this season or this coming season, or do you think he'll play the majority of the year?
Yes, it's such a hard question to answer. I want to say he could play the whole year, you know, and stay healthy. But like you said, when you're getting hit, you know, that offensive line isn't all that great. And he's going to take hits. He's going to have to get up. So we're going to have to see. If he can get rid of the football quickly and get it out of his hands and avoid some hits, he could play the whole year, but he has yet to show that. And like I said, it's a new start, new place, start fresh, and see if he can do it. But it's going to be a tough task for someone who's constantly injured and constantly not in the starting lineup. So we're going to see what week one if he starts, and we'll see where he goes from there.
All right, and that takes care of Jimmy Garoppolo with his new home, the Las Vegas Raiders. You know, Eric, earlier on we talked about running backs. Well, there was a running back that he struck gold and wound up signing a one-year contract, Ezekiel Elliott going to the New England Patriots. Now, Eric, we thought that the Ezekiel Elliott-Dak Prescott combination was going to be around for a long time. Well, the NFL, it doesn't just stand for the National Football League. It also stands for not for long. And not for long will you have a job, and not for long will you be with a team. And Ezekiel Elliott, again, went through the whole changes with the whole running back situation that's currently going on with the league. But he has a new home with the New England Patriots. Give me your thoughts on Zeke heading to New England.
I guess it all depends on how they use them. You know, do they have them there to run the football, or do they have them there for situational plays? It's really hard to say. You know, Bill Belichick is a weird coach to try to figure out. You know, so many big names signed there, and some of them succeeded, some of them didn't. You know, I remember when Corey Dillon signed there, and he played phenomenal. He went on to win a Super Bowl. But then, you know, you look at, like, other players who go there, I guess Chad Johnson. Didn't Chad Johnson play there?
He did. He was there for a hot minute.
Yeah, and he didn't really do nothing, you know. So it was almost like they didn't really use him much at all. But I guess Ezekiel should still have something in the tank. I think if he gets the opportunity, I think he'll play well. But, you know, New England's always been running back by committee. You know, they always had two or three running backs in rotation. So if he can stay healthy and just keep producing, I think he'll have a decent year. I don't think he's going to put up the numbers he put up in Dallas at all, but I still think he could have a productive year.
Yeah, I think he's going to do some major things this year. I mean, Mac Jones is still a young quarterback in New England, and he's still trying to find his way. Ezekiel Elliott is definitely somebody, like you said, Eric, he could be in situational football, especially when they get in the goal line formations. Zeke will definitely help out in that department. And speaking of somebody that he's always helped out in major situations, Odell Beckham Jr. Odell coming off of the successful ACL surgery, and what a performance he had 2 years ago in the Super Bowl when he was a member of the Los Angeles Rams, helping them win the Super Bowl. So OBJ, after almost 2 years not being involved in football, has a new home, the Baltimore Ravens, and that should be a great thing. Lamar Jackson got his big contract during the offseason. So give me your thoughts on Odell going to Baltimore.
I think it's a good pickup. He could easily become the number one receiver there. But, you know, he's coming off two ACL surgeries. He had one before he went to the Rams, played well there, went to the Super Bowl, was dominating in the Super Bowl, and tore another ACL. So, man, if he could stay healthy, I mean, he could put up some nice numbers. And I think Lamar Jackson will know to look for him. You know, he'll throw it up to him. And does he still have the speed? Does he still have the route running? You know, all these questions will be answered this year. I think he could put up some good numbers. I think he could become another top 10 receiver. But always come to staying healthy, man. He tears another ACL or something, man, his career may be over. So I'm praying the best for him, and hopefully he can get back to Odell Beckham-style football. I don't think he'll be the Odell Beckham we've seen in the first 5 years of his career, but I think if we can get 75% of that Odell Beckham, that's a Pro Bowl receiver, and I think Lamar Jackson is going to love having him as a receiver.
If everything goes well, as you stated, Eric, if he can stay healthy for the most part, Odell has the possibility to be an MVP candidate or maybe comeback player of the year. I mean, he's been out of football for almost 2 years. You mentioned about the two ACL surgeries. This is going to be interesting with him getting the knee in shape and also him getting in game shape. And then with Lamar Jackson, that offense is going to be interesting. And already with that solid running game that Baltimore has. So it's definitely going to be interesting what Odell does in B-more. I want to talk now about another running back that finally has a home, Dalvin Cook. So Dalvin Cook, so many great seasons with the Minnesota Vikings when he's healthy, one of the best in the league. But the Vikings, they ran into some issues this year with the salary cap. They couldn't afford to pay him the remainder of his contract. So they had to release him. And after visiting with different teams, the Miami Dolphins, just to name a few, he winds up in the Big Apple, winds up in New York playing for the New York Jets, and he's joined by his new teammate, Aaron Rodgers. Give me your thoughts on Dalvin headed to the Jets, 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 Jets.
Hey, it's a good pickup for him. I think he's still got some tread on the tires. I think he could run well. And when you got a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you know, you're not so much relied on to run the ball all the time. Some play action is going to help out a lot. So yeah, I like the pickup. They needed a good running game. You know, I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers had a lot to do with that. He probably, you know, put a couple of cents in his opinion about, hey, let's get us a dependable running back, you know. So when we're up 21-17 with 4 minutes left and we got the ball, hand it off to Dalvin Cook, get a couple of first downs, run that clock out, let's get a victory. So a good running game could help you in the long run. It could definitely burn out some time and help you secure a win. So I think it's a great pickup. You know, Dalvin Cook's not known to fumble. He's been pretty healthy. He's been durable and reliable and consistent. Once again, go back to that word I've been using a lot, consistency. He's very consistent, runs the ball well. 3-4-time Pro Bowler. He rushed for over 1,000 yards, I think, 5 times in his career. I think he'll rush for over 1,000 yards this year with the Jets and do some good playing with, you know, Aaron Rodgers. And, hey, a good running game in the playoffs to help, too. So I like the pickup. I think he went to a great situation.
Situation is definitely perfect for him in New York, Eric. And certainly, you know, the Jets, they've loved their running backs for quite some time, as recent as LaDainian Tomlinson, also Curtis Martin, just to name a few. And certainly Dalvin Cook is definitely going to fit into that mold, whether it be running or receiving, however you want to get it done. Hey, Dalvin Cook is definitely going to get it done in more ways than one. He did it with the Minnesota Vikings, and he definitely is going to do it this year with the New York Jets. Another player that joins a new team, Jamal Williams. Now, Eric, Jamal Williams, we know about some solid years that he had with the Green Bay Packers, but he really turned it up as a member of the Detroit Lions last year. He went over 1,000 yards, but he's got a new home now. He's a member of the New Orleans Saints. So if you thought Alvin Kamara was stopped, Jamal Williams is just as great as well. Give me your thoughts on Jamal being a member of the New Orleans Saints.
Good pickup. I mean, he had 17 rushing touchdowns last year. You know, take a little pressure off Alvin Kamara. We have a younger running back who still has threat on his tires. You know, I think he could run great between the numbers. And I think why, you know, Alvin Kamara is out for the first 3 games, I think he could produce, carry the ball, and carry the load for us. But when we get Alvin Kamara back with Williams, that's a pretty good combination. That's a good 1-2 punch right there. And goal line situations, you know, 3rd and 1, 3rd and inches, you know, Williams, he's got powerful legs. He'll make some things happen. And I think he could catch pretty decent out the backfield. But I also like his block, and he's a good blitz pickup. He picks up linebackers and safeties. If he could do that for us, run the football consistently and just convert third downs and give us some goal line stuff, man, I think he's going to fit great with New Orleans. And you got Kamara out there, you know, doing his thing, doing his screens and catching out the backfield and running as well too. So, you know, we're going to be tiring out some defenses, and they're going to have to get some Gatorade, because when – Kamara comes out the game, that means Williams is coming in, and now you got to stop him too. So I like it. Great pickup for the Saints. We've always had some pretty decent backs, if you think about it, the Deuce McAllisters, the Mark Ingrams, the Ricky Williams, Pierre Thomas, Reggie Bush at some point, you know, George Rogers. So we're gonna see what's going to happen this year. If they can stay healthy, and we get Alvin Kamara back with the 1-2 punch, man. Teams are going to have to put a lot in that box to stop us. And if that happens on a play action, Olave, Michael Thomas open all day. So this is going to be interesting. But I love the pickup. When they picked him up, I was static. I was like, yes, they got this right. We got us another back, because I knew Mark Ingram was out. And we needed somebody, you know. So I think he's going to fill that role perfect.
Yeah, Jamal Williams definitely with this new-look Saints offense, and with Derek Carr as the quarterback, and also with Alvin Kamara being the other running back, Jamal is definitely going to find his way in the Saints office. And Saints offense, excuse me, and he's definitely going to do big things down in the Crescent City. All right, Eric, I want to talk now about rookie quarterbacks. Bryce Young is going to be the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. C.J. Stroud going to be the quarterback for the Houston Texans. We know Bryce and C.J. were going to start. That was no surprise. But me and you, we disagreed on this team, the Indianapolis Colts. You said it should have been Gardner Minshew, but the Colts named rookie quarterback out of the University of Florida, Anthony Richardson, as their starting quarterback. I love the move. you didn't love the move, but just give me your thoughts on young Stroud and Richardson becoming the starting quarterbacks in their rookie seasons.
Yeah, I knew Young would start right out the gates and Stroud. I knew that for sure. That's why they were taken at that time. And neither one of them really had an answer at quarterback, so they went and got their quarterback. As far as Anthony Richardson, man, I mean, I think the kid's talented. I think he could be a Pro Bowl quarterback in this league. But, you know, I always look at quarterbacks and their situations and where you get drafted. And I just don't think with that Colts offense, you know, the problems they have in signing Jonathan Taylor, the receiving core really, I'm going to tell you, it ain't all that great. The offensive line ain't all that great. See how many times he got hit in preseason. And if you look at who was there before, Matt Ryan got beat up, didn't do well there. Phillip Rivers got beat up, didn't do well there. You know, there's a reason Andrew Luck left. He got beat up, didn't feel like getting hit
Nick
no
Foles.
More. I mean, Nick Foles, you're right too, Nick Foles. I mean, it's just, I'm not saying don't play him, but I'm saying, you know, let Minshew come in week one, at least 1 or 2 weeks. Let him sit on a sideline and just see preseason and regular season, the two totally different worlds. It is, and a lot of times he was playing against number twos and number threes. Well, regular season, it's number ones all day, all night, every second, every time you blink your eyes, snap the ball, sip Gatorade, it's number ones. So you got to be ready. And I just don't want to see his confidence get taken too soon before he get his career started. You know, you don't want him to start doubting himself. So, I mean, I'm hoping he goes out there and he plays phenomenal, but I just don't see. Now, if Jonathan Taylor came back and he had some type of running game there with him, I feel a little better. But Jonathan Taylor's not even there. So I want to see what he does week one. I'm going to tell you now, it ain't going to be pretty week one. I hope, like I said, I hope he don't, you know, come out week one with 3 interceptions for 109 yards and got sacked 9 times and they lose 24-3. You know, now he's going into week two, 3 interceptions, been sacked, didn't put no points up, and now the fans, oh, man, what's up with we want Minshew mania, you know, all that. Fans will turn on you. Once that happens, you know, your confidence go away from you. I just don't want to see that happen to them. But we're going to see. I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong. But Colts aren't a good team, man. They're really not. And they need to get a lot more pieces to that puzzle. And I don't see him. And one of them starting with Jonathan Taylor. They need to give him what he needs. Give him a nice contract. Give him a 3-year, somewhat million. You know, you give him something. And hopefully, you know, Richardson could come out and produce and play well. But I just hope I don't see him get beat up too much, you know. And I think that's what's going to wind up happening. He's going to get hit a lot. So God bless him. God stay with him. Keep him healthy. And let's see what happens. We're going to find out week one, and I'll be tuning in, so we'll see.
Well, you know what, to Anthony's credit, Eric, and to the quarterbacks that you mentioned, and they did get beat up, Matt Ryan, Nick Foles. You see why Andrew Luck left. Phillip Rivers, same thing. However, I think the difference is with Anthony Richardson, he's mobile. He's more athletic. And then also, too, the Colts, it was musical chairs on the offensive line. I mean, well, Ryan Kelly was in and out of the lineup. He was hurt last year, hurt the last couple of years. Quentin Nelson, who's one of the top offensive linemen in the league, he got hurt as well. But I think with Anthony's athletic ability and his mobility, I think Anthony's going to be okay. Like you said, it won't be perfect, but, you know, standing up to him and to his credit, I think Anthony Richardson is going to do – it's going to be okay for the Colts. I think he's going to have a decent year. And remember, their offensive line hasn't been healthy the last several years. So with Minshew, he gives you arm strength, and he can throw the ball, but he's not mobile. Anthony Richardson, he's still working on his accuracy, but he's mobile. He can get away from defenders. So it should be interesting, but I like the move that the Colts made for week one, naming Anthony Richardson the starting quarterback. All right, Eric, so it's time now for our last segment, which is Super Bowl picks. And we always have differing opinions when it comes to Super Bowl picks, but the floor is yours. So, Eric, who are your picks to play in this year's Super Bowl?
I'm always going to say the Saints. That's who I'm rooting to get to the Super Bowl, but that's my home team, so I'm not going to put them out there. I'm going to go Kansas City and the AFC just because they're defending champions. They're always in the AFC championship game, and they have been to 3 Super Bowls in the last 5 years and won 2 of those. So I got Kansas City getting back, you know, with Mahomes, and that receiving core is pretty dangerous. The running game's looking nice. We could get Chris Jones signed back. They'd be on their way again. So I got Kansas City Chiefs. And this is if Brock Purdy could stay healthy and play the way he played last year with that defense and McCaffrey and that receiving core and Kittle and that offensive line. And I got the 49ers, but I got Kansas City winning it again. I got them repeating, the first repeat since, New England back in 03, 04, I think. So I got Kansas City, 49ers, and a Super Bowl. But also my second one right quick, this is a fun pick. I got a nice fun one here. I got the Jets in Detroit in my second pick. How fun would that be? The New York Jets, Detroit Lions, 2 teams who ain't been in a Super Bowl in a billion. Well, Detroit's never been in a Super Bowl. The last time the Jets was in a Super Bowl was Super Bowl III. That'll be, I think, a fun Super Bowl. But I'm going Kansas City, 49ers. KC wins it again.
Okay. I like that pick. Now it's time for my Super Bowl pick. So, Eric, we agree on one thing. In the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs, listen, they're at the peak of their powers right now. Travis Kelce and company, fantastic. And Patrick Mahomes, hey, he's a master of his craft right now, one of the best in the business right now. And Andy Reid, again, the peak of his powers right now in the coaching realm. Kansas City, yeah, despite the Chris Jones situation, hey, Everybody's back in the ship, right? Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco and company. Kansas City, they're the defending champions. Hey, they want a repeat, like you said, Eric. We haven't had a repeat champion since New England. So as far as the AFC is concerned, I like the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the NFC, you say San Francisco? I don't say San Francisco. I like the Philadelphia Eagles. I like what Philadelphia did during the offseason. Jalen Hurts got rewarded with a big contract, definitely deserving of it. And also, too, Howie Roseman, the general manager of the Eagles, he made big strides during the offseason, especially during draft night in this year's NFL draft, landing N'Kobe Dean and Kaylee Ringo and Jalen Carter. And again, you get on the running back side of things, you lose Miles Sanders, but guess what? You get DeAndre Swift. So, again, that was a home run right there. The Eagles were wheeling and dealing during the offseason, and it started with the re-signing of Jalen Hurts. And the Eagles are just going to be too good in the NFC. So my Super Bowl pick is going to be a rematch of last year's Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. But this time, I like the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. So anything else you want to add, sir?
Philly definitely put it together, but I don't think they're going to win the division. I got Dallas winning that division. I think Dallas really put it together too, and I think they're going to be ready to move forward and maybe make their claim as getting back to the Dallas of old, you know, America's team. But, man, Philly looks dangerous. They look scary. So, but I just think Frisco's defense, I don't know. I guess it's where you play too. If they have to go through Philly, that's going to be tough in what, January? No. But if they have to go to Frisco, so I guess who gets to that number one seed? I'm guessing, you know, not so much the AFC. You know, if it's Buffalo and Kansas City in January, Buffalo plays in cold, Kansas City plays in cold, Cincinnati, Jets, all these guys play in cold. But in a NFC, if you have to travel to a cold Philly, that's not too pleasant for a team who plays in California or a team like the Saints who play in a dome. You got to get that number one seed, and that's the intriguing part about the NFL this upcoming season. Only the number ones get bye weeks and home field advantage now. There ain't two teams so much getting the bye weeks and all. So it starts next week, and we're going to see where this goes and see who wants it the most and who's improved and who's more consistent. And definitely going to be an interesting season. I'm just excited and ready to watch it.
Man, I am so excited, Eric. In the National Football League, the NFL is never a dull moment, and you've hit it right on the head, my friend. And any final thoughts that you have before we get on out of here?
Just, man, get ready for some good football. It looks like they did right with the scheduling this year. Looks like we got some really good Monday night games, really good Sunday night. Thursday night's looking better than ever. Now we got a Black Friday game, you know? I mean, wow, they're bringing more football to us. You know, you got your Thanksgiving Day games, and this is going to be a really great year. A lot of new faces and new places, and a lot of people not wanting to be doubted no more and ready to get the season going. And Thursday, Kansas City, Detroit, it's going to be an interesting opening night, and it's going to take us into the season.
It indeed, it is going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to end it on that note. Eric, as always, thank you, my friend, and we'll be ready to enjoy the season openers, ready as well as enjoying this 2023 NFL regular season. Thanks again, my friend.
Thanks for having me, man, and had a blast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Same here. And that's going to do it for this edition of the League Wraparound. Until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you take care.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.